The following is a lecture entitled Occupational Duties, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on September 30th, 2017, in Noida, India.
Prabhupada talks a lot about occupational duties in the Vedic wisdom. Much is said. So we will study some of what Prabhupada has said about occupational duties and see how that applies to us. Because what is our actual goal? Well, our goal is to become happy, right? Become free of all anxiety, isn't it? By awakening pure love of God within the heart. But at the same time, we have occupations, isn't it? Somebody's doing this, somebody's doing that. So how does your job, whether you're working at home or working in the office or running a business, how does your job relate to awakening your Krishna consciousness? You see? That's something important. If you can tie it all together into one spiritual perfection, I mean, how many hours a day do you spend at your job versus how many hours you spend at the temple? You see what I mean? So if you can learn the art of how to turn your job also into bhakti yoga, then that will help you to advance because you spend a lot of time in your job or your business every week. You see. So this is important stuff to learn how to transcendentalize occupational duties, how to make them spiritual. You see. So you're making spiritual advancement even in your work. You see. It's important. Important stuff. First of all, we're going to look at Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text number 35. Shrayan svadharma vigana paradamat svanushtitat svadharme nidanam shreya paradama bhavavaya. It is far better to discharge one's prescribed duties, even though faultily, than another's duties perfectly. Destruction in the course of performing one's own duty is better than engaging in another's duties, for to follow another's path is dangerous. What does this mean? Now, Prabhupada can explain it for us in his purport. One should therefore discharge his prescribed duties in full Krishna consciousness rather than those prescribed for others. Materially prescribed duties are duties enjoined according to one's psychophysical conditions under the spells of the modes of material nature. Spiritual duties are as ordered by the spiritual master for the transcendental service of Krishna. But whether material or spiritual, one should stick to his prescribed duties even up to death rather than imitate another's prescribed duties. Duties on the spiritual platform and duties on the material platform may be different, but the principle of following the authorized direction is always good for the performer. When one is under the spell of the modes of material nature, one should follow the prescribed rules for his particular situation and should not imitate others. For example, a Brahmin who is in the mode of goodness is non-violent, whereas a Kshatriya who is in the mode of passion is allowed to be violent. As such, for a Kshatriya, it is better to be vanquished following the rules of violence than to imitate a Brahmin who follows the principles of nonviolence. Everyone has to cleanse his heart by a gradual process, not abruptly. However, when one transcends the modes of material nature and is fully situated in Krishna consciousness, he can perform anything and everything under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master. In that complete stage of Krishna consciousness, the Kshatriya may act as a Brahmin or a Brahmin may act as a Kshatriya. In the transcendental state, the distinctions of the material world do not apply. For example, Vishvamrita was originally a Kshatriya, but later on he acted as a Brahmin, whereas Parashuram was a Brahmin, but later on acted as a Kshatriya. Being transcendentally situated, they could do so, but as long as one is on the material platform, he must perform his duties according to the modes of material nature. At the same time, he must have a full sense of Krishna consciousness. An example is let's say a woman's mind is very, very disturbed. So her husband can meet with her privately and try to help her out of her disturbance. But a brahmachari can't do that, you see. You know, the brahmachari is a preacher of Krishna consciousness. Her husband's also a preacher of Krishna consciousness. Because of the occupational duty, the husband can meet with her privately to try to help her problem, but the brahmachari cannot do that, you see. So that's an example, practical example, of sticking to one's occupational duties. Now let's look at some other... Now there's a Bhagavatam verse also about this. This is Bhagavatam 1:2:8. This is a famous verse. Dharmakshvanushtitakum sam vishvaksena kathasu yaha notpandayan yadiratim shamma evahi kevalam. The occupational duties or activities a man performs according to his own position are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the personality of Godhead. So that's the real bottom line. We have to awaken our love for Krishna. You see. So if you're doing your occupational duties in such a way your love of Krishna is not coming, then there's something wrong. You're not doing your occupational duties properly. You see. Very important point. You see. Clearly stated, they are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the personality of Godhead. So whatever occupation you have to learn to do it in such a way that facilitates the awakening of your Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada explains now in detail. There are different occupational activities in terms of man's different conceptions of life. To the gross materialist who cannot see anything beyond the gross material body, there is nothing beyond the senses. Therefore, his occupational activities are limited to concentrated and extended selfishness. Concentrated selfishness centers around the personal body. This is generally seen among the lower animals. Extended selfishness is manifested in human society and centers around family, society, community, nation, and world with a view to gross bodily comfort. Above these gross materialists are the mental speculators who hover aloft in the mental spheres, and their occupational duties involve making poetry and philosophy or propagating some ism with the same aim of selfishness limited to the body and the mind. But above the body and the mind is the dormant spirit soul whose absence from the body makes the whole range of bodily and mental selfishness completely null and void. But less intelligent people have no information of the needs of the spirit soul. So this is a very important principle. I have to always see that I'm, at every minute, that I'm acting, speaking, and thinking in such a way that it's helping me to advance in Krishna consciousness. Whether I'm at the temple or I'm at work, to always see how I can advance myself in Krishna consciousness. Well, how do you do that with your job, you see? Well, it's very simple. You have to, a portion of your earnings should be donated to Krishna, to our mission, the ISKCON's mission, you see. If you donate every month a certain percentage of your earnings, as a Christian boy, we had a rule in the Christian church, 10%. We call it tithing. Actually, Prabhupada said 50%, but that may not be practical for most of us to give half our income to the mission of the ISKCON mission. But even 10%, that's what as a even a little boy, I was given allowance, so I would give 10% of my allowance to the church. That's how I was trained as a little kid. 10%. Even as a little boy, 10% to the church. You see. So the point is, give something. At least if you can't, whatever you can give, give them. You see. I was a brahmachari for 14 years, and then I married Krishna. My actually our GBC arranged I had an arranged marriage. You see. A very nice devotee named Vishnupriya Devi Dasi seated here. It was arranged by our GBC. It's a wonderful marriage, and then there was a. We had a special. It was a special lecture given by our GBC, and instead of the. It used to be when I first joined ISKCON, the temple supported the householders also. In our Houston temple, we had the temple room on the first floor, the brahmachari ashram on the second floor, and the grihastha ashram on the third floor. Every householder had their own room. And they are maintained by the temple. That's the way it used to be. The householders are also maintained by the temple, like the brahmacharis. They have their... That was how it was set up. But then they... Our GBC realized this is not practical in the long run. Not practical. He had to give a special darshan. The householders should support ISKCON. It was a kind of a new thing. Instead of being, now they have to support ISKCON. So that policy came just when I got married. That was the new policy. So, okay. I got some job and I wasn't making much, hardly anything, really. But still, $50 every month to the temple, that was the thing. So I did my duty, and I felt really good about doing that. But now we're going to work, and I'm supporting the temple by my job, you see. So that's just the basic first thing every householder should do. You should make a regular monthly donation to the temple. And that way, when you go to work, you're going to work for the temple. Every day, I'm going to work. And then the other side is you maintain your household in a Krishna conscious way. You have an altar. You have nice photographs or maybe some simple deity worship with going to time. You see. You have a nice altar and all the food is eaten in the home. It's all offered to Krishna first on the altar. You see. So you make your home into an ashram. What is it called? Grihastha ashram, right? So if it's not grihastha ashram, what is it? Grihamedi, materialistic householder. You have to make your home, your living place, as an ashram, where Krishna is the center. You give a portion of your income, and you make your home as an ashram. And now you're working to maintain two temples, your home temple and the ISKCON temple. Your work is supporting two temples. Nothing material. It's all fully spiritualized. Your home is a place of spiritual cultivation. You're maintaining it. And you're maintaining the temple also, a place of spiritual cultivation. So now your work is completely spiritualized. So this is the secret. Now we'll look at another verse. This is Bhagavatam 1:5:17. Tvaktva svadaman charanam buja harer, punjana pakvota patatato yadi, yatakva vabadram abuddha mushakim, kavata apto bujatam svadharmataha. One who has forsaken his material occupations to engage in the devotional service of the Lord may sometimes fall down while in an immature stage, yet there is no danger of his being unsuccessful. On the other hand, a non-devotee, though fully engaged in occupational duties, does not gain anything. So sometimes one may, you know, he may be a college student, he may have earned a degree, he was thinking about becoming an engineer, but he decides to become a brahmachari instead. But even if he has some difficulty, he sincerely takes up brahmachari life, but he has some difficulty, you see. But because he is sincerely trying to take up devotional service, that gain is never lost. What he did is never lost, you see. Prabhupada explains in this connection, he says, as far as the duties of mankind are concerned, there are innumerable duties. Every man is duty-bound not only to his parents, family members, society, country, humanity, other living beings, the demigods, etc., but also to the great philosophers, poets, scientists, etc. It is enjoined in the scriptures that one can relinquish all such duties and surrender under the service of the Lord. So if one does so and becomes successful in the discharge of a devotional service of the Lord, it is well and good. But it so happens sometimes that one surrenders himself under the service of the Lord by some temporary sentiment, in the long run, due to so many other reasons, he falls down from the path of service by undesirable association. There are many instances of this in the histories. Bharat Maharaj was obliged to take his birth as a stag due to his intimate attachment to a stag. That's a deer. He thought of this stag when he died. As such, in the next birth, he became a stag, although he did not forget the incident of his previous birth. Similarly, Chitraketu also fell down due to his offenses at the lotus feet of Shiva. But in spite of all this, the stress is given here to surrendering under the lotus feet of the Lord. Even if there is a chance of falling down, because even though one falls down from the prescribed duties of devotional service, he will never forget the lotus feet of the Lord. Once engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, one will continue the service in all circumstances. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that even a small quantity of devotional service can save one from the most dangerous position. There are many instances of such examples in history. Ajamil is one of them. Ajamil in his early life was a devotee, but in his youth he fell down. Still he was saved by the Lord at the end. So the point is that just sticking to your occupational duties and never deviating without taking up devotional service, you don't gain anything. But any attempt to take up devotional service, even if it's not successful, that which you've gained is never lost. It's never lost. Even if you just get so far in this life, in your next life, you'll pick up where you left off. Your occupational duties, it doesn't give you any credit in your next life. Let's say you're a millionaire in this life. Do you start off with $1 million in your bank balance in your next life? No. But whatever bhakti you've achieved in this life, that goes with you to your next lifetime. Even if you don't achieve perfection, whatever bhakti you've achieved, that's your eternal asset. Anything you get by your material occupational duties, it's lost. It's all taken away by death. But anything you gain by bhakti, it's your eternal asset. That's why the bhakti is more important than the occupational duties. And so, what does Krishna say? Saradharman paditya ja mai mekam shadadang vaja aham tvang sarva papebhyo mokshyeshami ma shurchaha. Give up all of the duties and just surrender to me. So are we telling you all to quit your jobs? No. You take that as a duty to Krishna now. You take your occupation and offer it as a duty. Make it a duty to your household duties. If you're a housewife, whatever you're doing, whatever your occupation is, you're a student, do it as an offering of love to Krishna. That's the point. I personally couldn't relate to, I mentioned last night, I couldn't relate to any material occupational duty. I just couldn't plug into it. I thought, I'll just renounce the world. But then I realized that higher than renouncing the world was to make a spiritual revolution. So that became my occupational duty, spiritual revolutionary. I adopted that mood and I realized that I couldn't do it on my own, but I saw that Prabhupada was doing it. So that would be my occupational duty. Spiritual revolutionary is my occupational duty. Although when I got married, I did externally engage as a computer programmer for a little bit. I worked a career job for 3 years. Then I went back to full-time preaching. And then I worked part-time for a couple of years. When we went to Austin to open a center there, I worked part-time as a salesman for a long-distance telephone company. So I know what it means to work in the material world. I've done them. But if my heart was never there. My heart has always been for the spiritual revolution on this planet. Since I became a devotee, as a youth, I realized in 1969 that my only real purpose was to bring about a spiritual transformation on this planet. Since 1969. So now there's another couple of verses we can look at, then we can have questions and answers. This is Bhagavatam 3:32-6. And maybe Guru Mata wants to add some points. She bring them, give her the mic. Does she have a mic? In case she wants. You want to make some, add day? You want to add some points? You have a mic there. Anytime you want to add some points. Please just pick up the mic and if you want to add some points. 3:32-6 is the next one. Okay, Canto 3, Chapter 32. Text number 6. Nivritti dharma nirata nirmama nirahan krita sadharma ptena satvena parishuddena chetasa. By executing one's occupational duties, acting with detachment, and without a sense of proprietorship of false egotism, one is posted in one's constitutional position by dint of complete purification of consciousness, and by thus executing so-called material duties, he can easily enter in the kingdom of God. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Because you can actually do your material duties in such a consciousness that you will easily enter the kingdom of God. That sounds like a good purport we should read. Purport. Here the word nivritti dharma nirata means constantly engaging in executing religious activities for detachment. There are two kinds of religious performances. One is called privritti dharma, which means the religious activities performed by the Grihamedis for elevation to higher planets or for economic prosperity, the final aim of which is sense gratification. Every one of us who has come to this material world has the sense of overlordship. This is called pravritti. But the opposite type of religious performance, which is called nivritti, is to act for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Engaged in devotional service in Krishna consciousness, one has no proprietorship claim, nor is one situated in the false egoism of thinking that he is God or the master. He always thinks himself a servant. That is the process of purifying consciousness. With pure consciousness only, one can enter into the kingdom of God. Materialistic persons in their elevated condition can enter any one of the planets within this material world, but all are subjected to dissolution over and over again. So that sense of God consciousness, you see, you have to bring that to your occupational duty. Not considering yourself the proprietor. You have to see my house, my wife, my kids, my money. No, it's all Krishna's property. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had a song like that. You see. Now I'm seeing that all of this is the property of Krishna. You see. That mood you have to have. This is all the property of Krishna. My wife, she's Krishna's servant. My kids, they're also the servants of Krishna. You'd like to add some points now? Please do. Huh?
I can't hear you. Put the mic.
When you are done.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead. You can speak now. Please do.
My understanding, I can see there is two types of occupational duty. We should understand who we are first. Then we will know what is the occupational duty. Do we know who we are? Can anybody say who we are? You are so. So what is the occupational duty of the soul? To serve who? This body? Okay. That is our occupation. Main occupational duty is to serve Krishna. Other occupational duty is like saving the jacket for the drowning person. So which one you want to do first? The real occupational duty or just saving the jacket of the drowning person? So you have to understand. If you really want to know the occupational duty, as Lord Chaitanya said, Jivara Swarupa Nitya Krishna Das, that is our occupational duty. And if we have not done that, that means we haven't engaged in occupational duty. Other occupational duty is just to maintain this body and extensions of body where our false ego erupts. False ego is saying, this is my death, my wife, my kids, my nation, my society, and I must serve. And unless we give up this occupational duty of my false ego, then we are not doing anything. Not the real occupational duty, it's all false occupational duty. And we are very much proud of it. Whereas Krishna says, Prakriti kriya manani gunai karmani sarvasa ahankara vimudatma kartahamiti manya. And because you are thinking that you are the doer, that's why you think you have so many occupational duties. So please understand what is your real occupational duty. We are thinking that occupational duty according to one ashram dharma. If you have not made your life successful going back home, back to Godhead, you have wasted your human life. So what is your occupational duty? Because Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita also, you ought to know what is right for you to do. If you do not know, you are just doing all wrong. You have to know what is up to be done. That is our occupation.
Jai! Hari Om! You can see how fortunate Vaz has such a wife. He's very advanced devotee. There's one more verse. Yad yasvadan main namam nityam nirashya shadaran vitha. Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, continued, my dear King Prithu, when one is situated in his occupational duty, engages in my loving service without motive for material gain, he gradually becomes very satisfied within. So that's the real bottom line. You do your occupational duty, but your real duty is to engage in loving service to Krishna with no motive for material gain. And that way you become satisfied, you see. Prabhupada elaborates, he says, this verse is also confirmed in the Vishnu Purana. Occupational duties are known as Varnashram Dharma and apply to the four divisions of material and spiritual life, namely Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. If one works according to the Varnashram Dharma system and does not desire fruity results, he gets satisfaction gradually. Discharging one's occupational duty as a means of rendering devotional service under the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate goal of life. Bhagavad Gita confirms this as the process of karma yoga. In other words, we should only act for the satisfaction and service of the Lord. Otherwise, we will be entangled in the resultant actions. Everyone is situated in his own occupational duty, but the purpose of material occupation should not be material gain. Rather, everyone should offer the results of his occupational duties. It's interesting, Prabhupada said, he also said, a Krishna conscious businessman can aspire to be the wealthiest businessman in the whole world. Now, is that a desire for material gain? No. Because he's Krishna conscious. He's making money to propagate the Krishna conscious movement. He's making money to build the Mayapur temple. You see, making money to build this temple, you see. So a Krishna conscious businessman can be the most aggressive businessman in the whole world for making millions and billions of dollars, you see. That's it. But his motive is to spread Krishna consciousness. You see. So it's not that you can have a motive to be a successful businessman, but that doesn't mean it's material. What do you want to do with the money? You see, you want to use it to spread Krishna consciousness, then you can be a very aggressive businessman. A Brahmin especially should execute his occupational duties not for material gain, but to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra should work in a similar way in this material world. Everyone is engaged in various professional and occupational duties, but the purpose of such activities should be to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Devotional service is very simple, and anyone can adopt it. Let one remain where he is. He need only install the deity, the Supreme Lord, in his house. The deity may be Radha Krishna or Lakshmi Narayan. There are many other forms of the Lord. A footnote from myself in this connection is, unless you can strictly follow all the rules, just have Gornatai. Because to have Radha Krishna means you have to meet very, very elaborate rules and regulations you have to follow. They have to be, you know, you have to bathe and dress them every day. You have to have so many artis throughout the day, every day without fail. My wife and I travel with Radha and Krishna, and we can't neglect them. You see. Can never neglect them. So, but if you have Gornatai, there's some leniency. So if you want to install deities, we recommend Gornatai, unless you can maintain a very high standard of deity worship regularly without fail throughout the life. It's better to have Gornatai deities. They're just nice, beautiful photographs. In this way, a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya... I lost it here. And Shudra should work in a similar way. Let's see. Wait, here it is. Oh, yeah. Oh, in this way, a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra can worship the deity the results of his honest labor. Regardless of one's occupational duty, one should adopt the devotional means of hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping, offering everything to the Lord, and engaging in His service. In this way, one can very easily engage himself in the service of the Lord, and the Lord is pleased with one's service, one's mission in life is fulfilled. So the point of having this worship is very important in your home. Very nice, beautiful, clean altar, even if it's just photographs, that's also good. Or Gornatai deities, that's very nice. Or if you can maintain a good standard, Radha Krishna, Prabhupada mentions. So in this way, you have to, but your income has to all be channeled, you see, to Krishna. In your home and the temple, both places. Support the devotees who are preaching. Brahmacharis, sannyasis, the spiritual masters. You see. So, if there's some questions now, my wife and I can answer them. Devi, you have questions there too. Okay, good. We can go back and forth. I'll take one and then you can take one. Why don't you give a few of these to Guru Mataji? Yeah, okay. All right. So I'll start off. How important is it to identify one's varna? And how does one do it? Well, Shastra says, Kalo Shudra Sambhava, in this age, everyone's Varna is Shudra. That's where we're, the whole society puts us into that position. Most of us have to earn our living as workers, Shudra class. A few really aggressive, intelligent can earn his Vaishya as businessmen. But where are the real Kshatriyas now? We don't have real Kshatriyas. These are Shudras, practically speaking, money in the government, Shudra people. They're not real Kshatriya. A Kshatriya, when they're on his battlefield, he's the first one on the battlefield. He's not sitting behind in the White House, sending the boys out to be killed on the battlefield. That's not Kshatriya. You see, we have no Kshatriyas. Now, ISKCON is creating Brahmins. By Prabhupada's mercy, we're getting real Brahmins now. In terms of livelihood, whatever is practical for you. The main thing is this: see what kind of occupation will best facilitate your practice of Krishna consciousness. That's the best thing. According to your ability, your talents, your inclinations, what sort of livelihood will best facilitate your Krishna consciousness? Now, for some men, that will be a brahmachari ashram. For those who incline to married life, they have to find some means of income. You see. But you have to see basically what will best facilitate your Krishna consciousness. Okay, Guru Mata.
Is it allowed to speak lies or half-truth while performing our occupational duties? Can we say that money that we earn by such occupational duties is profited by making donation to the temple? Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, any material occupational duty you're going to do is full of faults. There is always going to be faults. Like Prabhupada gives the example, a merchant, he's doing the transaction and he has to say, oh, for you there is no profit. So, there is no profit. But just to purify that faulty occupational duty, by offering to Krishna's service, it becomes purified. And it nullifies the actions that you have performed. So that is the reason Krishna says, karma-neva-adhikara-stimma-phaleshu-pedasyam. You do your duty, the result is not yours. You have to offer that result to Krishna. Otherwise, we are bound by debts. Okay? Unless it's offered to Krishna, you are bound by karmic reactions.
Is it okay to stop talking to a devotee if while talking there's always a difference of opinion which leads to a never-ending arguments and which causes further arguments? Well, maybe you're the one who's being argumentative. You're thinking, well, that devotee is there always argumentative. Maybe you're the one who's argumentative. Don't be so quick to think that, yeah, that devotee is very argumentative. Maybe you're the one who's argumentative. Say to be a little humble. The thing is, Prabhupada explains, even in spiritual life, there are sometimes differences of opinion. And that's spiritual. Someone thinks, no, I think the deities would be more beautiful today in their green outfit. Someone says, no, in the blue outfit. And is that a cause for a fight? They both want to make Krishna very beautiful today. One feels green is better, the other feels blue is better. So why there should be some hatred over such a disagreement of opinion? They both want to please Krishna. You see? So there is room, what is it called, unity in diversity. There is room for diversity in ISKCON. So we have to learn how to have different opinions and maintain loving relationships. Not that we have different opinions, we have to just break apart. Would Prabhupada be pleased if we just broke apart? Prabhupada wants us to work together, so we have to learn to work together in spite of our difference of opinions. In this connection, this reminds me of my godbrother Tejas. He was one of the first. When he came to India, ISKCON was a small handful. ISKCON, India, was maybe 10 or 15 devotees, and that was it. Prabhupada and a few Western disciples, and that was it. That was the whole movement. So it was very austere. There was no bottled water, and we Westerners got sick even drinking the tap water. It was very difficult. I remember we used to drink Limca and Dab, and that was all we could drink. You drink the rest, anything else, you get sick. You couldn't drink the tap water. It was horrible when I first came to India. So anyway, it was a rough time. And he and his wife would have these arguments, and the wife would go away. And Prabhupada would have to negotiate to bring the wife back. So he said, Tejas, he asked his disciple Tejas, what is the difficulty with your wife? He said, Prabhupada, she doesn't do what I say. And Prabhupada said, if she doesn't do what you say, then you should do what she says. In this way, live peacefully, you see. So, you know, there are differences of opinion. My opinion, your opinion, right? We have to learn how to not think that I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Really, you know. Hey, I'm not God. When am I going to realize I'm not Krishna, you see? So we have to become a little humble and realize, hey, I'm not Krishna. I'm not God. I'm a tiny spirit soul. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes, conditioned soul. So I shouldn't be so haughty and proud if somebody disagrees with me on some point. Maybe I'm wrong and they're right. We have to learn how to hear from other devotees. Maybe I'm just puffed up and I think I'm right and actually I'm wrong, but I'm so proud I can't realize it, you see? There's two questions on the paper. You go and do the next one. Yeah.
How performing occupational duties on material platform is supposed to provoke attraction for the message of the Personality of Godhead? No, it does not. Unless one is engaged in the devotional service, then material occupational duty is the result is offered to Krishna, then only it provokes. Otherwise it's a useless labor.
The next question, is it okay if we are more attached towards Lord Ram than Lord Krishna? Well, there's an interesting story in this connection. In Chaitanya Leela, there is a famous devotee, Murari Gupta. And everybody was devoted to Lord Chaitanya. He was also felt very devoted to Lord Chaitanya, but he felt more attracted to Ram than to Krishna. He tried to change his, because everybody else was fed on Krishna and not on Ram, but he tried to change it, and he couldn't. He really tried. You know who he was an incarnation of? Hanuman. If actually in your original rasa in the spiritual world, you're one of Ram's devotees, you might be more attracted to Ram. But by following this system, just as Murari Gupta did of the Chaitanya movement, you'll achieve your perfection in Ram Leela. I mean, it could be you're actually from Ram Leela, not Krishna Leela. Somebody, you know, we can have this. If Murari Gupta can be a Ram Leela person in Lord Chaitanya's movement, we may have more Ram Leela devotees here. And we love you. You're welcome. You know, I personally am more attracted to Krishna, but, if you're more attracted to Ram and you're chanting your rounds and you're following the order of the spiritual master, then you're welcome. You know, if that's your nature, we have no complaint with that. Go ahead.
What should be the primary purpose of our life? The Shastra says, Atato Brahma Jigyasa, without this everything is useless. Tato Brahma Jigyasa, you know who you are, become self-realized. Human form is meant for that, not for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending only. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, animals can do this. These duties are performed by animals also very So either we can remain two-legged animals, or we can try to understand who we are. This Atato Brahmajigya self becomes self-realized. Human form is for becoming life.
Next question. What are the symptoms of someone who has transcended the modes of material nature? Well, it's very simple. He's no longer affected by the modes. The modes can't affect him in any way. Doesn't matter what's happening in the material world. It can be happiness, distress, heat, cold, victory, defeat, poverty, wealth, old age, young age, the moment of birth, the moment of death. For him, it's all the same. He's simply fixed in Krishna consciousness. His loving relationship with Krishna is fully revived, and he's tasting that. He's fully experiencing his loving relationship with Krishna intensely and intimately and fully within his heart in all times, places, and circumstances. Next.
If you are in devotional service, it can be choked up. If you are too much into, But if you are engaged in all these kinds of activities, then you don't have a time for devotional service, and one may start cheating, one may start doing so many things, because it comes with the greed, lust, anger, greed, and all that. So then the bhakti is choked up. It doesn't grow any further. Okay?
If God is there, interesting question. Well, maybe he's not. One could, you know. If God is there, then why so many people are suffering? Well, because they're wondering if God is there or not. That's why they're suffering. Because they're wondering if God is there or not. Or they're either saying he is not there, or they're wondering maybe he's not there. Those are the people who are suffering. Those who understand that God is there, those who are fully convinced that God is there, they feel how he is present. They understand how he is present. They learn how to reciprocate with him, and they always feel connected with him. Let me see. Next.
How to control my need? I do not know what is your need.
What? What is it?
How to control my needs.
How to control what?
Needs. Needs.
Needs?
Not know what are the needs. Krishna conscious needs, Krishna supplies. All your material needs also will come according to your karma. You don't need to control any needs of material, but Krishna conscious God, if you just offer all your needs to Krishna, and he will take good care of
it. Hare Krishna, how can we convince our mind to donate 10% every month, as we have material mind and mind wants more from Krishna? Please help us. It's very simple. That the temple. I know. You can go like on PayPal or. There must be something where you can automatically have it deducted from your credit card every month. You know, you just do it. It's automatic. You don't even think about it. It happens automatically. You know, simple thing. Just make it an automatic thing. It comes out of your bank account automatically every month. Even if you're in Maya, even if you know, if you forget about it, it happens automatically. That's just automate your monthly donation. Simple thing. Next.
If both husband and wife are trying to practice Krishna consciousness and are initiated, but sometimes have fights and arguments, is this behavior offensive? It depends. If it's a Krishna consciousness disagreement, then we can both are practicing Krishna bhakti, trying to serve Krishna in that way. But if it's for material things, it can be sometimes offensive.
How much material gain is sufficient for a devotee to maintain a balance between spiritual and material life? Enough gain to maintain body and soul together. Prabhupada always said, to keep body and soul together. In other words, you don't die. You have enough material facilities so you don't leave your body. Enough food, enough water, the simple necessity of life that will keep you healthy. That's material, physically healthy. And your family, physically healthy. That's what you need. You don't need extravagance, you see. But you do require a certain, for good health. Next.
Hare Krishna. You have said that we should work for Krishna. How do we know that Krishna is God and I should work for Him? Because you have forgotten Krishna, so you do not know. That's why you need to associate with the person who knows, who has seen. Just like if you want to go to America, you get all the information about America, then you will know about America. So you have to associate with the people who knows about Krishna. And from him you can learn. Krishna is God, you cannot understand him by your own senses. You have to associate with those who have associated with great personality, who has seen Krishna and described Krishna's activities. Then you can act accordingly and Krishna will reveal himself. Even if you don't know him, if you serve him sincerely, he will reveal himself to you.
What are the ideal timings to practice bhakti? These days, due to occupational duty, requirements, our timings are short, start late and late. In other words, you have to spend so much time with the job. What about your japa? What about, how do you balance it? Well, early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. He quoted American philosopher Benjamin Franklin. Thing is, if you want to go back to Godhead, you need to chant at least 16 rounds every day. And they should be focused. Not while you're riding your motorcycle, you're going Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Beep, 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 Krishna, Krishna. Beep, 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 Ram, Ram, Ram. Not like that. Not that kind of japa. You need, like a yogi, just think of a yogi, in the Himalayas, how his meditation. Your japa should be like a yogi in the Himalayas, deep, deep, deep meditation. So you have to give yourself the time somehow or other. You have to go to bed as early as possible and get up as early as possible according to your schedule. You have to take sufficient rest, obviously, so you don't fall asleep while you're driving or fall asleep on your job. But you have to. The idea is to get up, go to bed as early as possible, and get up as early as possible, and begin your day by chanting the Hare Krishna. And the best thing is get all your rounds done before breakfast. Now, if that's not practical, you just absolutely cannot do that because you have to get out on get to work early in the morning. Prabhupada had a system when he was a householder; he would chant four rounds before breakfast. Four rounds before lunch, four rounds before the evening prasadam, and four rounds before taking rest. You have to prioritize your spiritual life. I personally like to get my 16 rounds done before Mangal Arati. We have Mangal Arati every day. Actually, you should have Mangal Arati every day, even if it's just 5 or 10 minute dup arati. Everyone should have Mangal Arati every day. I prefer to get up early and get 16 rounds done before Mangal Arati. and then do writing after Mangalarti. I do or do deity service also. In Austin, I cook the I bathe Prabhupada after Mangalarti, and I cook the breakfast offering. You see, so the I prefer to get my rounds done before Mangalarti every day. But you need to get 16 rounds done early in the day, if at all possible. And if you can't, you can split it like Prabhupada did at one point. But you have to chant 16 quality rounds every day. Somehow or other, find a way to do it. Very important. Yeah, go ahead.
What is the importance of the Ekadashi? Why it is prohibited to eat grains during that day? To free you from the sin. Because that day in the grain, the sin personified all kinds of sin. Whose body is made of all sin, resides he as God, his residence in the grains. That's why grains, at least grains, has to be avoided. Otherwise, that Ekadashi is done with full fast, no water, no sleep. But if we are not able to do that, we can take non-grain Ferrari food.
What if we opt not to do occupational duties? Well, everyone has to do some occupational duty as a Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. So if you don't want to work a regular job, then you should become a Brahmachari and live in the ashram. You see, do that. That's also an occupational duty, though. If you don't want to work a job, then you become a Brahmachari. And as far as women goes, actually women are not supposed to work jobs anyway according to Vedic culture. They're all supposed to stay at home and do puja, cooking, making the house clean, a wonderful atmosphere for the children, and when the husband comes home, a wonderful spiritual atmosphere maintained constantly in the home by the wife. So it's understandable one may not want to go out and be a Shudra, because actually, it's not that enlivening to be a Shudra. But actually, in this age, we're forced to go out and work these kind of jobs. I personally couldn't do it. I just wasn't my nature. I understand. I didn't want to do it. I did a little bit, but then I got out of it as soon as I could. As soon as Krishna gave me an invitation, I was invited to become the sales manager at Bhaktivedanta Magazine. I immediately gave up the job. Finished. Get out of this rat race type job. Actually, so I can understand this question. And then I was working, I was working as a salesman for MCI Corporation. Then I got out of that too. My wife and I started our own business. We had a home business. Travelrama, it was called. Travelrama. I mentioned last night we were selling tickets to India. People from America going to India. So that was better than being a worker, having your own business, you see. That's one thing you can do. If you don't like to work a job, you can start your own business. But you have to be really... I was lucky to have a wife who's from a mercantile background, so her brains helped me a lot. Her advice helped me a lot to be successful in the business. But yeah, I can understand that, if you don't want to work a job, then try to start a business. If you're married, But you have to, the bottom line is you have to maintain your wife and children nicely. You can't put them in difficulty where their minds are disturbed. Then how are we going to pay the rent? We're going to move out on the street and live like beggars in a tent somewhere. And you can't do that to your family. So if you're a householder, you have to maintain your wife and children nicely. It's your duty. Even if you have to work as a Shudra, you have to do that. But because you're a devotee, you're actually not a Shudra, you see. You're Brahmana. But you're doing that under emergency. You see, one can act, a Brahman can act as a Kshatriya or a Vaishya, but he cannot act as a Shudra, Prabhupada said. But then Prabhupada even allowed, our Gopal Krishna Maharaj, everyone knows Gopal Krishna Maharaj. He was working like that. He was working a karmi job when he first became a devotee. That's it. So one may have to sometimes do that, work a karmi job. And one can, if one is doing nice sadhana, he's maintaining a Krishna atmosphere at home, he's going to the temple regularly, he can be very happy, even if he has to work. I know Arkavira Prabhu in Houston. He was working some kind of a job like that. But he had a good arrangement. They had what's called, I forget the term for it, it's split. You could choose your own hours for the job. So he would come late, he would address the deities of the temple, and he would go late to work, like at 10 o'clock in the morning. And he wouldn't chant his rounds. He'd just go to Mangalarti and address the deities, take breakfast and go to work late. And then he would stay late at work. Everybody would go home like at 5 or something, and he would work from 5 to 7 when nobody was there, and he'd chant his rounds at the job. Like from 5 to 7 he would chant his rounds every day at work. So he had the thing is, if you're Krishna conscious, Krishna will help you find some way to get your sadhana. He did that. He would go to work every day, and he would stay, and he would chant his rounds at the office, being paid to chant his rounds. And he was a valued employee, and he had a career job, and he was a very happy man. He bought a house right across the street from the temple. So he just walked, 3 minutes from his house to the temple, walking across the street. Very happy. And now he's retired. A very blissful devotee. I know Kuvira Prabhu. Very, very blissful. Always is so happy, blissful, smiling. Just to see him, you feel like you're so happy to be in his association. So it can be done. You can work a job and be happy. Krishna will help you. Go ahead.
I heard Varna Ashram is also there in the spiritual world. Can you elaborate on that? I have not heard it, so I do not know.
What was the question?
Varna Ashram is also there in the spiritual world. Can you elaborate on that? I have never heard about it.
Well, you do have Vaishyas there.
In Varna Ashram,
And there are, I don't know about Kshatriyas. I mean, of course, they're all Vaishyas. The cow protection is going on, so there are Vaishyas there.
They're Vaishnavas.
Yeah, but they're taking care of the cows, you know.
Vaishnavas can do any service.
Yeah, they don't. There's no following of rules and regulations there. You don't have to worry about livelihood in the spiritual world because everything is there automatically. Not that you have to, go to work in the spiritual world. Yeah.
According to the Varnashram system in the material world, one cannot strictly following Varnashram Dharma, then a Brahmana cannot act on the other level for his livelihood. He should be acting only on the Brahmana platform. And a Vaishya is on the only Vaishya. They should do their swanustika dharma. That means whatever is their operational duty, that's what they do. Vaishnava can be engaged according to the need. I have one here, another one.
If occupational duties don't permit time, then how to do Krishna consciousness? Well, you got to shift your occupational duties. If you have absolutely zero time, you can't chant even one round. You can't have time to offer at least a 5-minute dup arti. You don't have time to offer your food to Krishna before you eat it, and you're just like a complete, slave of some company. Then it's better to find another job, Prabhu. Krishna will help you. I mean, if you're a total slave, you can't even chant Hare Krishna. You better find another job. Your occupation is going to kill you. Next.
I know my boss is taking undue advantage of me. Should I fight like Arjuna? Or let it go, thinking it does not matter. If you are fighting for Krishna, then it's okay, like Arjuna did. But if you are doing for your own sense of gratification, find some other job.
I just have one question left. So if there's any more coming, like, I'm all down to my last question.
We are running short of time.
So our time is almost up. We have about, okay. I have two more, and then we can. So no more questions. We'll go ahead and wrap it up now. Now we're having another session tomorrow night. This is session number two. What's the tomorrow night's title?
Tomorrow's morning, 10 a.m. Tomorrow morning is 10 a.m. and the title is Perfection of Life.
The morning. We're having a morning class too.
So the seminar tomorrow is morning at 10 a.m.
Oh, 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Yes, and Perfection of Life is it?
The Perfection of Life. All right, very good. If you want to have the perfection of your life, be here at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. Okay. You stated that you worked in the material world, but your heart was never there. I have the same feeling, having no connection with my job. It is tasteless. But a devotee is meant to be expert in all fields. How do I achieve expertise in the field if my heart isn't in it? Well, if you're... if you're not married, go ahead and become a brahmachari. What can I say? Join the brahmachari ashram. If you're not inclined to be a worker in the material world, you can be a brahmachari. But if you're married, then you have to... you could try starting your own business also. Be an entrepreneur instead of an employee. Try something on the side, and that's also an option you could do. When I did work a job, I took it very seriously. When I had a regular job as a computer programmer, I took it very seriously. So even, you know, my heart was with Krishna, but I had a feeling. I did have a feeling. But what happened was, it's a long story, but I was actually happy taking that for Krishna, because we had a whole community of householders there in our Dallas temple, and they were all, I respected them very much. When I joined, it was all just brahmacharis, and we practically had no householders when I joined. It was practically all a brahmachari movement, but gradually people started getting married, and we gradually had householders. I remember in our Dallas community, Tamal Krishnamurti had a whole vision of a community of devotees. He bought the whole, it was amazing what he did. He bought a temple building, and then it was a kind of an inexpensive neighborhood. So he had a vision of creating a whole Grihastha community. So he secretly went around and negotiated with each family in the neighborhood, and he bought every house in the whole neighborhood with a loan from the BBT. Can you imagine? He bought every house in the neighborhood. He bought the whole block. And the houses across the street facing the block, like about 10 or 15 houses he bought. It's amazing. And then he invited some householders who wanted to be disciples to come live there. So we had a whole community of householders living around the temple in their houses. They were owned by the temple, and they were paying rent to the temple, I guess. But I was actually inspired to see these householders. They were out working jobs, they had businesses, and they were very Krishna conscious. So, I had never been able to work a job successfully as a karmi. I was like a hippie, you know. So I was impressed with these householders. And actually, I was inspired to go out and get a job and be successful. I remember, putting on my coat and tie and going out to interviews. And I was inspired. I was enlivened by it, to be honest with you. But later on, I became a little uninspired. But I had shifted to a new job that couldn't relate to the technical stuff is just too much for me, the technicalities of the new job I had gotten. That's when I lost interest, especially at that point. But actually, my heart was into it in the beginning. I was inspired to see these householders who were very first-class devotees, who were maintaining families and supporting the temple. It was inspiring for me, to be honest with you. So now the last one. But you can always try for something else. But actually, there's nothing wrong with taking up some occupation and being successful in it. There's nothing wrong with it at all. You're doing it to maintain a Krishna conscious livelihood for your wife and your kids and support ISKCON. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. Why your heart shouldn't be in it? My heart was out of it when I got the company I worked at. They shut down. They basically laid off everyone. The whole company. They laid off. They bought up another company. Bought our company, and they laid off everybody. It was a mass layoff. Everybody. They just wanted our data. It was a credit bureau company, and TCI bought out Chilton Corporation for the data, and they didn't want any of the employees. They fired all of us. So I worked for Chilton Corporation. I was enlivened by that. I was inspired to go out to work every day. But then I got a job for the community college thing, and I wasn't ready for that technical challenge. And that's when I lost my interest, and it was just too much to deal with. I wasn't technically qualified actually for that job. I got a job I wasn't really qualified for. And that's when I lost my enthusiasm very much. And that's when I got the offer to be the sales manager at Bhaktivedanta Magazine. So if your heart isn't into it, you need to find another job that you can relate to. Just from my own experience, I can answer in that way. Okay. Chances of fall down are higher in the Kali Yuga. How to protect ourselves from falling down in our devotional services? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chant Hare Krishna mantra every day, at least 16 rounds, and strictly avoid the offenses. The first offense is Vaishnava Parab. I can tell you this, if you can learn how to be respectful to all devotees, and you chant your 16 rounds, you'll do quite well. You'll do quite well. The chances of fall down, the number one cause, one of the main causes of fall down is being offensive to our devotees, and then you lose your taste. When you commit Vaishnava Aparad, you lose your taste for the name. You put you in a very difficult position because you have no taste if you offend Vaishnavas. So always be respectful to Vaishnavas, follow the regulative principles, and chant rounds, and you'll be solid. So we thank you very much. Now we'll meet you all. One more. Guru Mata will finish it up. Last question.
Why we have more power to destroy, kill, than to why we have more power to destroy, kill, than to create, give life? Why? I don't know. You can say, because we are selfish. We want our sense gratification. The sense gratification we kill and destroy things and hurt others' feelings, or lust, anger, and greed happens. Only unless we now come to understand, we become self-realized, then only we can create and give life. Giving life means saving all those souls that have come down to this material world, and we can give them life by helping them to become Krishna conscious. That is giving them the life. Otherwise, we are killing them or helping them to kill if we don't give them the love.
So we thank you all very much for attending tonight's program. We hope you have learned something about how to utilize occupational duties in such a way to liberate yourself from the cycle of birth and death and go back to home, back to Godhead as soon as possible. Thank you very much. We look forward to seeing each and every one of you here tomorrow at 10 a.m. to learn how to achieve the perfection of life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.